As we begin this morning our consideration of the sacrament of holy baptism, we turn in Scripture to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, reading the first 11 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I call your attention to Jesus' words in Matthew 28, verse 19, when he gave his disciples, the apostles, the great commission, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Go ye therefore, we read in Matthew 28, verse 19, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We consider together this morning the instruction found in our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 26, questions and answers 69 through 71. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sin. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, last week from Lord's Day 25, we considered the means of faith. Because of the extensive treatment by the Catechism of the sacraments, I focused last week on the chief means of grace, the preaching of the gospel. That's a subject to which we will return, Lord willing, when we reach question and answer 84 of the Catechism, where attention is given to the contents of faithful preaching as a key of the kingdom of heaven. But we did see last week that Christ has added to the preaching the sacraments to confirm that which he works in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. By the sacraments, he more fully declares and seals to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. For that reason, you must understand that the signs and seals of the sacraments are signs and seals only to the elect, only to those who believe. They are signs and seals of a particular promise and of the righteousness that is ours through faith alone. That's the clear testimony of Romans 4, verse 11. There are two sacraments, only two, holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. That the sacraments are spiritually important ought to be evident to us. Today we begin with our consideration of holy baptism. We were blessed a couple weeks ago to administer that sacrament and shall be again in a couple weeks, the Lord willing. But we have heard that form for the administration of baptism many, many times. And so you remember that immediately before baptism is administered, and prior to the parents being asked the three questions of that form, there's an exhortation to parents. And that exhortation reminds us that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. And then this: therefore, it must be used to that end and not out of custom or superstition. We have to know, therefore, this ordinance of God. We have to understand what it is, why it is important, and what is the significance of this sacrament of holy baptism. To that end, I call your attention this morning to the sacrament of holy baptism, its institution, its meaning, and its significance. We begin then with its institution. Sacraments must be instituted by Christ to serve as signs and seals, holy, visible signs and seals. We can give our babies a bath. We can wash them. That water even serves as a means for their cleansing. But that's not baptism. Our little children sometimes play church. They take what they've observed in the worship services and they pretend at home that they are doing church. And so they might even go get a cup or bowl of water and sprinkle it on the head of little brother or sister and imitate the minister saying, "I baptize you." But we all know that that's not baptism. Only God himself can give us the privilege and the power and the authority to administer the sacrament of holy baptism. We must realize, too, that there are Christians who say water baptism is nothing. They have no place for it. They insist the only baptism necessary today is that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that therefore we show the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which gifts they define in terms of tongue speaking and healing and so on. Well, we address those special and temporary gifts of the Holy Spirit when we unfolded from Scripture the truth of the Holy Spirit, His person, and His work in Lord's Day 20 of our Heidelberg Catechism. So I don't feel compelled to address that issue again this morning. And we must realize that there is no question that we must be baptized not just with water, signifying the blood of Jesus Christ, but with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Water baptism itself means nothing except, as the 70th answer explains, we are renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ. But the question is, did God give to his church the sign of baptism as a seal that the Holy Spirit also baptizes the church with His grace? Is the sacrament of baptism a sign that God bestows His Spirit and grace upon the church? Is the baptism that's administered to members of the church, including the infants of believers, a sign and seal of the righteousness that is ours by faith? That's the question. And then that it is a means of grace must be instituted by Christ, instituted by God for that purpose. That God instituted baptism is clear from the great commission God gave His apostles and through them to the church when He said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That baptism is a means of grace, is evident also from what we read in Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." That tells us that the sacrament of baptism is a sign and seal of that spiritual reality that we must not overlook. We are buried and raised with Christ so that we should walk in newness of life. That's the reality, the spiritual reality of our baptism into Christ. Now, that institution of baptism by our Savior calls attention to a couple things. In the first place, we ought not overlook the fact that we are baptized into the name of the Triune God. We are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That points to the fact that in baptism, we are taken into the very covenant life of God himself. Remember now, I'm speaking of the essence of baptism, that of which the sacrament of holy baptism is a sign and seal. But by baptism, we are taken into the very life and fellowship of God as he has revealed himself in his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the work of his Holy Spirit. You also recognize that we're speaking now of the beautiful truth of the covenant. The triune God, who lives a glorious life of perfect fellowship and love within himself eternally, what Scripture reveals as his covenant life, has been pleased to take into his life a people whom he has chosen before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. The fellowship of God is with us. More particularly, as we shall see in Lord's Day 27, he establishes that covenant with believers and their children in the line of continued generations. That's the joy that we experience as we look around us in this congregation. Secondly, concerning the institution of the sacrament of holy baptism, this incorporation into the very life of God himself takes place by faith. For Christ said, Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So once again, the very institution of baptism marks it as a means of grace. A means of faith, a means that God uses to signify and seal the riches of our salvation in Christ Jesus, which salvation is by faith alone. That's evident from the fact also revealed in Scripture that not all who are baptized are saved. There are many who want to teach that in baptism, all are really baptized into Christ, which is to say the promise declared and sealed in baptism is a promise for all who are baptized. And taking that position, then, they say that the promise is extended to everyone who's baptized. But in order to make that promise effective, they have to believe and walk in sanctification. If they don't, they make God's promise of none effect. The effectiveness of the promise given in baptism, say they, is dependent upon the child's response as an adult. I trust you realize that such a position concerning baptism is not at all biblical. God's promise is never dependent on what man does. He brings to fulfillment that promise. He works all that is necessary to receive the promise. He works that faith necessary to receive the promise. That's the gift of his grace. He doesn't give that gift to all. Not even to all who are baptized. Election in Christ governs the spiritual reality of baptism. Baptism, as was circumcision, according to Romans 4, verse 11, is the sign and seal of the righteousness which is by faith. But as the apostle had written previously concerning circumcision in Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's confirmed as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me read the opening verses of that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would that not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now let's remember, our baptism form refers to that passing through the Red Sea as signifying baptism. Why does it do that? This passage, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 2 explains what it means that all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The history is that of God leading Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, the bondage of sin and death. He led them to the shores of the Red Sea, where it appeared that they were trapped, unable to escape the bondage that had held them. And God said there to Moses, we read it in Exodus 14, verse 16, "But lift thou up thy rod, stretch thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Moses did so. But another thing happened as well. The pillar of cloud that led Israel, in which the angel of Jehovah was present, stood between them and their enemies and protected them. So Israel passed through the Red Sea. On the one side was their bondage to Egypt, the picture of their spiritual death, the darkness of the bondage of sin, and on the other side was the promised salvation. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us that in doing so, they were baptized into Moses. Moses as the mediator of the Old Testament, the type of the mediator who alone could save. And so we read, "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." But the text doesn't stop there. Rather, we read, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So baptism, as was circumcision, is a sign and seal of the righteousness which is by faith. The promise is to the spiritual seed, the elect in Christ Jesus, and therefore to those who believe. What does it mean then to be taken by faith into the fellowship of God by Jesus Christ? The meaning of the sacrament of holy baptism is seen only by looking at the reality that is signified and sealed by that sacrament. The outward sign of baptism is water. Water cleanses. If you're going to wash something, you use water. God ordained that sign to signify that as our bodies are washed by water, so the spiritual filth of our souls is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we return to the opening verses of Romans 6, particularly verses 3 through 6, we are told that by baptism we are buried with Christ into death. Most Baptists, you might realize, insist that baptism take place by immersion. Now, it isn't my purpose this morning to go into the mode of baptism, to get into the debate of whether baptism should be done by immersion or whether sprinkling with water is sufficient. It's evident from the fact that we sprinkle water, the water of baptism, that we deem it as a method to be sufficient in signifying what is expressed by holy baptism. But if the Baptists tell you that you don't have the complete sign of baptism because you don't immerse into a baptism tank or into a river or lake, you might point them to Romans 6 verse 3 and tell them they don't have the complete sign either. Because the sign in baptism is that we are baptized into Christ's death. The full sign would be the drowning of the person. In baptism, we die. The sign of baptism is that we die with Christ. We're taken out of this world to die unto sin and to be buried in Christ in order to rise again in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So we can see the whole picture portrayed in the sacrament of holy baptism. Christ's death, after all, was an atoning death. Christ went to the cross and shed his blood in our place and on our behalf. And not only ours, but all those given him by the Father, he paid for our sins. Mysterious as it is, that's the wonder of Christ's atonement. He received in his own body and soul the punishment, the complete punishment for all our sins, and paid the price necessary to save us. But his death wasn't the end of his work. By his death, he satisfied God's justice in order that, by overcoming death, he might receive the glory that is his. So he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that he might be glorified as the head of his people. To be baptized, therefore, is to be washed with his blood, to be immersed into his death, that we might be raised up with him as partakers of his resurrection life. So all the blessings of salvation are signified and sealed in the sacrament of holy baptism. Before our baptism into Christ, we are polluted with sin, blackened with our depravity. Guilty with Adam, we bear the punishment of that guilt, the pollution of sin, the wages of which is death. By nature, we are enemies of God. Baptism is a sign of how that perfectly holy and just God reveals his mercy by taking us into the fellowship of his own covenant life. He can't embrace that which is polluted with sin, but he cleanses us. And he does so by taking us through a bath of blood. Christ's blood. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that the idea of that should walk, is not that we look at Jesus in his glory as an example and therefore this is how we ought to walk. Rather, our walking in newness of life is tied to Christ's resurrection in such a way that our walk in newness of life is the inevitable consequence of being baptized into him. As the Catechism puts it, to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ is not only to receive the remission of sin, but also to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. So baptism speaks of the wonderful reality that God is the author of our salvation from beginning to end. Or as Hebrews 12 verse 2 puts it, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Not only has God determined from eternity, out of his own sovereign good pleasure, to redeem a people unto himself in Jesus Christ, cleansing and embracing them as his own children and heirs, but he has prepared all the blessings of salvation in his only begotten Son as the head of his people, that those blessings might be ours also in the line of continued generations. The sacrament of baptism is a sign and seal of what Christ has done for us. But God is also the one who realizes those blessings in our hearts by faith. Faith is the power that God has implanted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, through which we are united with Christ, buried with him into his death, raised with him in newness of life. And through this faith, we are not only united with Christ, we become partakers of his life as members of his body. Through faith, we receive all the blessings of salvation that are ours in him. Holy baptism, therefore, is a means of grace, a means by which God confirms the faith that he brings to conscious activity by the preaching of the gospel. We conclude then by standing before the significance of the sacrament of holy baptism. What thought do you give to your baptism? We ought to think about our baptism. You ought to give careful thought to the significance of your baptism, even as I ought to give careful thought to mine. We ought to think about it when we look in the mirror. What do we see? It is said that in the Old Testament, when there were slaves, if any slave decided he wanted to be a lifelong member of that household where he served and where he was cared for, he had to subject himself to a certain ritual. The head of the household, his master, would take him to the door, take his ear, and put his earlobe against the doorpost, and with an awl, a sharp pointed tool, would puncture a hole through his ear. He would have his ear pierced. That slave would then be given an earring. That marked him as belonging to that household for life. in baptism, you and I are marked as well. Do you think about that? Our baptism marks us as being subject to our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign ruler of the universe. We are His in body and soul, in life and death. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our confession, isn't it? We ought to see that when we look in the mirror. There are many, many opportunities to take the marks of the world. There are actually many marks that the world would have us bear to show that we are one with them. Many of the rituals of today's culture, even the fashions that are so prevalent in the world, are nothing less than marks that, if we should take them, show a oneness with the world in the bondage of sin and death. We have to remember who we are when we look in the mirror. We have to see the significance of our baptism. We have to know what it is to belong to Jesus Christ. We have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. That's the essence of baptism. That's its true meaning. The sacrament of baptism is the sign and seal of that reality. We are those washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ. That's the certainty of our union with Christ by faith. I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am externally washed with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Stand before the mirror and view yourselves that way. Prior to being washed by the blood of Christ, we were filthy with the pollution of sin and death. But now, being washed by the blood and Spirit of Christ, we have the blessedness of sanctification and redemption and life everlasting in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our baptism. Teach your children that. Teach them that they might know and live in the knowledge of that baptism. That they might live as those whose very bodies are marked by the precious blood of Jesus. That's why we're not our own. Look in the mirror and see that person cleansed, one with Christ by faith. To Him you belong, in body and soul, in life and death. Amen. Our gracious Father, we stand in awe once again before the wonder of Thy grace in saving us. And with heartfelt gratitude, we give Thee our thanks. But we desire, Father, that our thankfulness also come to expression in our lives daily. Give us, therefore, to look upon the wonder of what our baptism signifies. Give us to see Jesus and to rejoice in what is ours in Him. Amen.